Politics about to start. Quick little bit of housekeeping here. As soon as the intro is done.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just how we roll, we never gonna go. I'm stuck with the original, uncensored radio.
As I was saying, sorry folks, forgot all about the little intro that had to kick in. But this is Christian from No Rules, Just Mike. A little bit of sad news to pass along. Unfortunately, we're going to have to play an old show tonight. I like to consider it a classic show, though, even if you've heard it before. But sad news, unfortunately, Topher had some family issues going on. I'm sure he'll get into it next week when we are back live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard next Thursday. But unfortunately, just a family emergency of sorts, and just wasn't going to be possible to do a show today. We didn't have much time to line up a backup plan due to us having some things set up for the show this week. So we apologize. I'm sure you understand, though, when it comes to family, that comes first. And we'll be looking forward to being live and in charge again a week from today. But for now, enjoy this classic episode of No Rules, Just Mike. And, of course, that will be followed up by your guilty pleasure at 9 p.m. Eastern, so stick around. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a great night and enjoy.
Oh, my God.
No rules in that.
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this one?
Go. We say in what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
What's up and happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome to No Rules, Just Mike, the No Rules Show, ready to bring you the latest and sometimes controversial topics you want to know. We are your hosts. I've got Topher on the line as well as myself, Christian. We are here and ready to bring you the best show in history, or at least better than last week, which was somewhat of a train wreck. But thank you for tuning in, Topher. I'm very happy to be spending another hour here with you on a Tuesday night. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, much better than last week. And again, we apologize about the debacle that was the Lindsay Lohan train wreck, which we're going to never speak of this episode again. But otherwise,
I don't know if it was as bad as a Lindsay Lohan train wreck, but it was a train wreck. But no fault of our
own. We're going to get to her later.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about that. I've got some dish on that.
Oh, absolutely. When is there not on Lindsay Lohan? And a big thank you to Toku, who I saw just check in. He filled in last week because we also had some technical difficulties. Well, more appropriately, I did. But I'm not doing any updates to my phone, so we should be good to go, but I don't want to jinx it. We got a lot coming up today. Plenty happened over the last week, and, I'm ready to get down into it. But before we get going into the topics, to let the late, stragglers come on into the classroom here, let's just do a little roundup, I guess, Topher. Talk about our weekends. How about yourself? Anything interesting happened this weekend? I'm sure you and Matt hit up the beach once again. It seems you guys have been doing that a lot lately. How was it?
Yeah, it was nice. It was ball sack cold, but it was nice. We went to, we always go to, and as we've been doing this for the last 8 weeks now, we go to, it's a hotel right kind of on the edge of Folly Beach, right outside Charleston. For those of you who are not from Charleston and don't know anything about Charleston, it's a hotel called Tides, and attached to that is it's a really awesome restaurant called Blue, B-L-U, if you guys want to Google it. And it's literally right on the beach. There's an outdoor bar that overlooks the ocean. It's right next to the pier, which is, I believe it's the longest pier on the East Coast, if I'm not mistaken. It's about a quarter mile long, heading into the Atlantic Ocean, and it's known as the Edge of America. And we go there. We've been going there for quite a few weeks now. And last Saturday was no different. I do love that place. We enjoy it. We're actually thinking about renting a beach house out there, hopefully in the next couple of weeks as the weather starts getting a little bit warmer. But we will be there next week as well. So if you and the lady want to join, you're more than welcome to.
Yes, absolutely. I know we both haven't been to Folly Beach in quite some time. She's running a race, as I know I've told you, but for those listening in, she's running a, not a marathon, obviously, but one of those little, like 5K deals. And I shouldn't say little, because there's no way in hell I could do that at this point in time, because I'm so out of shape. But she's doing one of those Rugged Maniac races, which I'm excited for her, because I know she'll do awesome, but also excited to watch all these people getting all muddy and jumping around stuff while I'm just hanging out, enjoying the locale, which is Boone Hall Plantation, a old plantation home, amazing grounds out there that they've transformed. So I'm excited for that part and to see her kick some butt. And hopefully, yeah, hopefully we can catch up after. But if not, I know we're going to hang out tomorrow night, a belated birthday celebration at a new restaurant in Charleston called The Rare Bit, which I'm excited about because I've heard good things. Especially about a drink they've got there called the Russian Mule. I don't know much about it, just know that's what it's called. And we'll be hopefully we can report back some good things next week when we return. Yeah, I'm excited about that too because I didn't have much of a weekend, unlike you guys, enjoying the beach and such. I know it was cold out there, but you know, still beats work, in which I was doing on Sunday. Saturday was a little bit better. Did some house stuff. I was off. So was the lady. You know, we did some shopping and some other things. And then at night, we went to a concert in town to see a local band who was actually on Letterman a couple weeks ago, so they're starting to, you know, make some noise out there across the nation, a band called Shovels and Rope, kind of like a Americana, rockabilly, kind of like the trend that you see out there with Mumford & Sons and Lumineers and Alabama Shakes, like that kind of country music, but a little bit better, in my opinion, because I'm not a big fan of country.
Right.
But they put on a totally kick-ass show. They put it on in a music theater that has a bunch of seats because it's meant for, like, jazz concerts and stuff. And people were up and dancing around, and it was a lot of fun. So they put on an awesome show. If you guys are into, like, Mumford & Sons and bands like that, it's a husband and wife duo, and they totally kick ass. Go search them out. Shovelsandrope.com is their website. They're on iTunes. Their album's called Obi Joyful. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I love it. And they put on an awesome kick-ass show. But so that was the lone highlight of the weekend, But, hey, such is life sometimes. Can't have all kick-ass weekends. And the week itself was pretty busy. And thank you for posting that link in there. Topher, I saw in the chat for those in there. Shovels and Rope is pretty awesome. Go check them out. But anyway, busy week. The first thing, and I immediately, normally Topher and I don't tell each other our topic ideas, you know, things we saw in the news, because a lot of times, you know, we both already know that the other person's probably seen it, but also, you know, we like to surprise each other sometimes and be like, hey, this is the topic, and just have us riff on it without really, you know, having a whole lot of time to digest it and think about it. But
right.
This one I just could not pass up. I was like, we have to talk about this week. Because it's just so off the wall, and I don't know how many people saw it, but this came out of Chicago this week. Legislation was passed that they are going to start sex education in kindergarten. Yes, that is right. Chicago, in their public schools, is going to start sex education starting in kindergarten. It used to be fifth grade, just like much of the other parts of the country, you know, it starts in fifth grade, some fashion, whatever it is. But they're going to start doing it in kindergarten. Now, before we get into it, for those who didn't read it, you know, let's make sure we all know where this is coming from. ABC News posted it. That was the first place I saw it. But what they're going to do is the kindergartners, supposedly they're going to learn the basics about things like anatomy, reproduction, healthy relationships, and personal safety. Through the third grade, the sex ed lessons will focus on family, feelings, inappropriate and inappropriate touching. Fourth grade, students will start learning about puberty, HIV, et cetera, et cetera. It starts to go on from there, probably with what the rest of us were familiar with. But kindergarten is when they're going to start it. Topher and listeners out there, is this too young, or are we okay with it?
No, it's absolutely too young. I mean, these kids are still learning their ABCs and understanding that you don't stick a crayon up your nose. They have no concept of understanding what anatomy is, let alone, you know, what to do with it. I understand that they're bringing it into little sections, but I still think kindergarten is way too young. Maybe fifth grade, sixth grade, you know, when things are actually starting to develop. But, you know, I mean, kindergarten? No, it's almost disgusting, in my personal opinion.
It is kind of disgusting to me, too. However, the headline, it immediately brought me in, you know, sex ed for kindergartners. I was like, whoa, but, you know, I was like, oh, this is probably a classic case of sensational journalism just trying to grab your attention. But after reading it, it isn't. There's some parts I'm actually okay with. You know, when I looked at what they're going to be taught, anatomy, for me, that's a little tough for a kindergartner to digest. You know, I just, that part kind of bugs me. Reproduction, absolutely, I've got an issue with that for a kindergartner.
Yeah.
The bottom part I was okay with, healthy relationships, personal safety. I think there's a way that you can teach kids that kind of stuff that isn't inappropriate and actually will be beneficial to them. You know, like, hey, if you have a friend who's hitting you, that's not okay. You know, whatever, something like that, just to get in the kids' minds from the beginning that violence isn't okay. You know, I'm assuming when they say healthy relationships, it means not being with people who are violent, verbally abusive, you know, or pressuring to do things you don't want to do, not necessarily sexually. And personal safety is good, too, like stay away from places that might be dangerous. When I saw those two pieces, I thought, no, that's perfectly a good idea. Teach kids from a young age about dangers. They won't necessarily equate it to sex-related stuff then, but they'll, you know, they'll think about it as they grow up and as they learn more and more stuff going on. But isn't it a little young to really be teaching these kids about reproduction? I get anatomy. Well, parents might say, oh, these are boy parts and these are girl parts at that point in time because kids are curious, they're going to ask questions, but they don't really know why there's a difference. What are you in kindergarten, four, 5 years old?
Yeah.
Something like that? Well, that to me, and reproduction, besides the fact that's hard to kind of wrap your head around at that age anyway, I just don't see how you could be teaching kids where babies really come from at that point in time, unless they mean by reproduction, like from the point where there's a baby, you know, already in the picture. You know, it didn't say they're teaching them sex necessarily, but maybe they're just like, oh, when mommies have a baby, this is how it grows, which then is a little different because kids ask those types of questions. But if they're actually involving sex in some way, I'm shocked. It was, you know, it's not that Chicago is a conservative place. It isn't by any means.
Right, right.
And probably being a big city, they have problems with kids, obviously not kindergartners, but young kids getting pregnant. We talked about Philadelphia a little while back about how they were dispensing or giving out condoms in, like, middle school or something. They were available for free because they had such an epidemic with teen pregnancy and under it, you know, not even teen necessarily. So I can get that part of it, but still part of me is just like, I don't know if I'd want this. Is liberal or maybe liberal is not the right word, but you know, I'm not conservative by any means, especially when it comes to sex stuff and politics even a little bit. But even me, being a little bit more progressive, I'm a little spooked out by teaching kids this stuff as early as kindergarten.
Right, I agree. I definitely understand where they're coming from with the feelings and you know, that kind of personal space. I get that. I don't think teaching anatomy at that age is acceptable. I certainly don't think reproduction in what I believe their definition of reproduction is, which I think is kind of talking about the baby in the belly and stuff like that. You know,
right.
I think it kind of steps on the feet of parents, where, you know, I think kids need to be kids for as long as they can be kids. You know,
yeah,
I think that kids are growing up way too soon. And doing this is only pushing them forward into that realm of understanding or learning too much and not being able to understand what they're actually being taught. And then you have parents some parents don't want their kids to learn that. Some parents don't want their kids to go through that at such a young age. I think fifth grade is probably a decent place to start. However, I don't know what the demographics are like in Chicago. I don't know if the majority of high school kids maybe by the age of 13 and 14 are having other kids. I just don't know. But I don't think that 5 years old, I don't think that kindergartners, I don't think a 4 year old can really understand what's going on without it having some kind of possible negative connotation for it or a negative effect.
Yeah. and I definitely see where you're coming from. I'm going to kind of look into the chat room here. Burson, who you and I know, I think, well, maybe you haven't met him in person yet, but he's called in at least. You know, I know him as a friend, and I know he's from, or not from Chicago, he's from Illinois, and has spent time in Chicago, so he may be able to shed more light as far as if there's an issue there or not.
Is Chicago in Illinois?
It is, but he's not from Chicago. He's from a small town in Illinois, not actually in Chicago, the city itself. So that's why I'm thinking he might know a little bit more. I'll defer to him. And speaking of him, he brought up some good points. This is kind of what I was alluding to before. He said there needs to be a baseline for understanding and education before you jump straight into it. You know, so for instance, when I was in school, sex ed was taught in, I think, fifth grade, and that's when they really started to talk about, like, sex itself, you know, not just, like, baby talk and organs and stuff like that.
Right.
It was actually taught at that point in time, and parents had the option, of course, to opt their kids out of it, and I'm assuming that's going to be the case in Chicago. But he's right. Instead of just jumping into it completely blind, it is good, and I get this point, that they're kind of getting a baseline where they can start. You know, they get a little bit of knowledge, not too much, not crossing that threshold too much. You know, they're not going to be making these kindergartners watch the pregnancy video or the labor video where a lady's giving birth, which I graphically and horribly remember from some time in high school.
It's messy.
It's gross. And Burson also says the parents, the problem is the parents. You know, you mentioned this is the parents' place, and I agree, it should be. But a lot of parents aren't there. Some parents don't do their part, which is exactly what he said. Then this probably wouldn't be a topic. Kids are always going to do stupid stuff, even kids with good parents. But he's right. If the vast majority were doing their jobs, it wouldn't be an issue with young people getting pregnant as often. It's always going to be an issue, but not as dramatically so. So I'm on board with the setting a baseline. I'm just, without knowing the actual curriculum and what exactly they're going to be teaching these kids, it's hard to know for sure if I'm completely against it. On the base level, just looking at it, it's shocking. And it's like, whoa, kindergarten, 3, 4, 5 years old, whatever it is, that's a little young to be teaching things like anatomy. But maybe it isn't. I'd have to see the curriculum to be sure. But it certainly is shocking to me. And it could be handled completely wrong if a poor teacher or, you know, it seems like it's good intentions, but it has the potential to go very, very wrong very, very quickly. And I'm all for sex education in schools, and I am not one of those abstinence-only people by any means. I think sex education should be taught, and I don't think abstinence-only education is the right way to go, especially since
it's not
a lot of scientific scientific data, but research and studies have shown that it doesn't make a difference. Kids are told to abstain versus kids who are told safe sex methods. It's not stopping kids from having sex, so it's stupid anyway.
Right.
But anyway, just throwing that out there, like just letting you know that I'm not one of those people who's like, there should be no sex talk in schools.
I definitely think that it needs to be taught somewhere. If not in the home, definitely in an educational setting. The problem that you find is that I guess maybe I can understand why they're wanting to aim at such a younger age, because I mean, kids are going to hear shit on the street that's probably not 100% true or 100% accurate. So I guess, I don't know, I guess thinking about it a little bit more, it kind of makes sense. I still think that kindergarten's way too young.
And, you know, in talking about sex education and getting it out there, a big, big thing in the 80s, I remember this being a kid, hearing about it, not completely grasping it, of course, but I was a child of the 80s. I grew up the majority, you know, my those impressionable years throughout the 80s, as you did as well. And I remember HIV being a huge, huge topic. HIV was a big problem. The news was covering it. Magic Johnson, of course, you know, came on TV saying he had it, and that brought it to another level. And that kind of spurred more sex education. And there was some big news on the HIV front this week, which was that a toddler who was born with HIV, because I believe just the mother had it. I'll have to double check. But the toddler was actually cured of HIV. This, according to many news outlets, I'm particularly looking at CNN's coverage of it, for those who are interested. Just an amazing headline. I mean, did you think, especially growing up in the 80s when HIV was just all over and how scared people were of it, and rightfully so, of course, and knowing the problems that countries like Africa still have with it, do you ever think you'd see a day where someone was 100% cured of HIV?
I always hoped so. I always hoped that we would find a cure for that, because I know that it's a devastating illness that, you know, unfortunately has plagued a lot of the population. I know that it's, especially in South Carolina, facts that I read probably about a couple years ago, that African-American females were the highest carriers of it. And, you know, everybody in Africa, not everybody in Africa, but people in Africa are definitely dealing with it. I know that there's definitely a population of the gay community who is also fighting it. So it's good to know that we're on the brink of something very global, and finally some kind of positive epidemic out there or pandemic out there that we can hopefully get rid of HIV and AIDS altogether. Only time will tell, but this was an amazing, amazing story. I couldn't help but, you know, kind of get a little bit emotionally attached to it, because I know how big this is, and I know what a big step that we've taken just as a society, and as you know, how global this has become, and how global we're all trying to end this awful disease. So I'm really excited about the possibility.
And some background on it, you know, I've been trying to keep up with it because it's worded kind of oddly sometimes in the articles. Like CNN in particular, they mentioned that they're, quote, functionally cured of the HIV virus. So it's kind of a strange thing. So I think they're just being cautious about it. It's not like a be-all, end-all. What happened is going to fix it for everyone. But basically what happened was they knew the baby was going to be born with it. With HIV, that is, because the mother was
right.
HIV positive. So they knew it was going to happen. And within 30 hours of her birth, they were giving her high doses of these three different types of drugs that they had. And 2 years later, so the baby is actually 2 years old. There's no evidence of HIV in the child's blood. The child is from Mississippi, just for, again, more background. You know, they think catching it early and the high doses of drugs, you know, they've cured it, but what they meant by functionally cured is that the virus is so small that lifelong treatment is not necessary, and just standard standard clinical tests that the baby will take or the child will take going forward will not detect the virus in the blood. So it's like it's still there, it's not completely cured, but like you said, it's a big, big step. And, you know, a lot of Americans don't realize, and I'm guilty of this as well, because like I mentioned, the 80s into the 90s was like, it was all over TV, it was a huge, huge deal. It was on the cusp of becoming a huge, huge problem in America, and it's just drastically decreased as we're now here in the, you know, the 2010s or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But still, a lot of people don't realize. What was that?
It's the 20-teens now, by the way.
20-teens, sorry. Even now, though, some 1,000 infants are born with HIV every single day, according to the latest estimates. That means there's about 330,000 children still living with that virus. And, of course, the majority of those are in, like, third-world countries and places that aren't America. The same CNN article said that the infant infections in this country have gone down about 90% since the mid-90s. So obviously this country is not under control, but it's not as bad as it was when we were younger. But it is still a huge, huge problem. So, yeah, if this is the first step, just think about what that can do for those countries where, you know, hundreds of thousands of kids are living with that virus and people in general are still contracting it. It's a big first step, no doubt about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm very excited to kind of find out what happens with this and where we go. And it always begs the question, is this going to be the beginning of a global cure, you know?
Yeah. When we were younger, too, like, for me, you know, not knowing as much about the world as you do as you become an adult, you know, you hear about the big things that affect people. And HIV and cancer have always been the two, like, earth-shattering diseases that I knew about as a child. Like, if you heard of someone getting HIV or cancer when we were younger, that was pretty much it. It was essentially a death sentence.
Yeah.
And to see both, and again, a lot of that had, for HIV anyway, had to do with Magic Johnson, you know, having, you know, being someone with a lot of money, high profile, had a lot of press covering him because he was playing in the NBA at the time, brought awareness to it. And he was someone that was able to afford treatments and things and kind of keep it under control. But, yeah, when you were younger, when you heard either of those two viruses with somebody, you know, whether it be a celebrity, someone on the news, someone you knew, it was pretty much that was it. And although cancer is far from being cured, it's a hell of a lot different now than it was, when, you know, 10, 15 years ago even, especially if it's caught early. So, you know, our culture, our society, you know, we continue to make strides for it, and hopefully someday both will be cured. But it gives you hope because, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, seeing how long these types of viruses have gone on and how there's no cure, you start to wonder if there even is a cure necessarily. And if there is one, if it'll ever be found. You know, it's hard to believe it. So when that came out this week, you know, HIV isn't something that's on a lot of Americans' minds, myself included. It was pretty shocking to see that, and it gives you a little bit of hope that maybe these big, bad diseases that, you know, used to be so terrible, and still are, but, you know, they used to mean no hope whatsoever. That's no longer the case. So it was definitely a good thing. I don't want to sound too dramatic or hyperbolic, but it was a very big thing for humankind to have that come out this week, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing the abilities that we have as people and you know, our researchers and doctors and everybody who gets in the medical field just not giving up, you know. And a lot of that is a testament to just knowing that, or having some kind of deep feeling that this is something that we can make go away. You know, I know that there's a lot of other things out there that kids are fighting, you know, like lymphoma and definitely all these other cancers.
Right.
But this is big because this only became something very, very big in the 80s, like you were talking about.
Right,
so
right, exactly.
To know that it, for such a small time frame, for such a big, major illness, this is huge. This is huge. If it can actually cure, which is what CNN is saying, then this is big. So I'm very excited that we're able to report that.
And I hope that, you know, this isn't the bigger story, but, you know, I think we've kind of touched upon the big thing and how great it is. It also shows a need, and hopefully it'll spur more people trying to go into the fields of science and medicine here in this country, because, you know, those types of numbers, I've seen reports where people aren't, you know, really aspiring in as big of numbers as they used to go into fields of research like that in chemistry, biology, you know, that kind of combining them and doing tests to try to, you know, our country's lacking behind in all sorts of stuff, not just, you know, when it comes to creating medicines and researching and discovering things like that, in all sorts of different kind of science fields, whether it be our space program or anything else. You know, you only hope that, you know, we've accomplished a lot in this country, especially when it comes to those fields in the past, and this is another huge step. Hopefully it'll spur some other people to realize how important it is, and if it's too late for them to go into that field, then, you know, do what you got to do to keep it going. Donate to, you know, the charities or the people that will keep these research programs going.
Exactly.
I don't know, just something I thought about while we were talking, because I do know I've seen before that, you know, people just, I was one of those people, science was not something that interested me. I did not see any glory in it. I did not, you know, I knew it was interesting, but it was just not something that I was, you know, that was not something I wanted to do. And there's nothing wrong with that if you guys, you know, whoever's out there is the same way. But hopefully those people who could do it and did like it but just decided not to for whatever reason, you know, hopefully it spurs more people to do it.
Right, right. I mean, you can go two ways in life. You can go, like, the way of, you can be definitely a helper, or you can be somebody who's like a hands out, who's almost like a lost cause. And there's definitely people that we know out there. side comment, but I want to move into this because I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we kind of hit this, so go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan. You know, I know that Charlie Sheen has actually helped Lindsay Lohan out. He bought her a dress that she destroyed. He helped her. He gave her, I think, like $10,000 to put towards her her unpaid tax debt. And now he's kind of getting back on the Lindsay Lohan wagon. He wants to help her get her life back on track, and he thinks that he's just the guy to do it. Now, ABC News was saying that, was kind of quoting TMZ, where Charlie Sheen said, quote, "I have a kinship with somebody who clearly needs a mentor. Whether she wants it or not, she can continue hanging out with her dress shredding club buddies or turn to me for some advice from a guy who's been down the road as well as every other side trail on this journey." You know, if it's the best thing for her, I don't know. But he adds, he's like, if she listens, she'll win. If she doesn't, that's on her. And basically, she kind of came out and said, you know, fuck you, stay the hell out of my life.
Well,
this
number
is crazy.
Number one, this may be the best transition we've ever had in our show's history. we're talking about AIDS, you know, venereal disease, and it brought up Lindsay Lohan and Charlie Sheen. I think that's incredibly apropos. Absolutely. I think that was a good transition.
I'm glad you liked it.
But in all seriousness, it's one of those stupid stories that gets out there. It's interesting because of the two parties involved. This is a terrible idea. For me, I get it. I don't know why Charlie Sheen is deciding to stick his nose into Lindsay Lohan's business. I mean, I don't know these people. I don't know their history if they know each other or whatnot. I don't see why he would make that great of a mentor, because from all accounts, he is still a wild party guy, you know, drinking, doing coke. It was just a few years ago. There was that big blow up with whoever his girlfriend was at the time, and he was like coked out of his mind. And why would he be, just because he survived to the age he's at now? If you were to tell me someone like Rob Lowe, who was notorious for drug, alcohol problems when he was younger, not even, you know, necessarily that young, even, you know, probably, what, 10 years ago. If you were to tell me someone like that, someone who by all accounts appears to have his life together as far as not abusing anything anymore, that
right.
would make a little bit more sense to me, and I'd be like, all right, that's a good idea. Someone who's a celebrity and they get how being a celebrity at a young age and the
They're
types
of
things
you're
supposed
to
do.
Not in the middle of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Now, Sheen, I believe, isn't probably as crazy as he was when he's younger, but he's still doing things that he shouldn't be doing. But yeah,
have
like
you seen
said,
the picture on ABC News?
It.
I mean, have you
oh,
seen?
Oh yeah, Charlie Sheen
him?
Looks like a mess. Mm-hmm.
He looks like fucking Fred Krueger. His one doesn't look all that hot either. So,
well, she,
I'm gonna post, I'm
she
gonna post
hasn't
the,
hot
in the
long
chat
time.
Room. Yeah,
I just did for you. Oh, we both
oh, okay,
did.
Okay, great.
Well, that's the other thing with Lindsay Lohan. She was like, she was one of those girls where, right around the time when Mean Girls came out, it was a really popular movie with girls, and I actually know a lot of guys who actually kind of dug it, myself included. I mean, it was written by Tina Fey, for God's sake, so even though it was a little, it was a little of a chick bend, you know, like a chick flick, I thought it was great, because I love Tina Fey, had some great actors in it, you know, that I had liked. Tim Meadows was in it, Amy Poehler, of course, who's amazing as well. And speaking of, we should talk about that whole debacle between them and Taylor Swift. I don't know if you heard about this, but we'll get to that in a minute. It was just a good movie, I thought. I think Anna Gasteyer was in it, who was also an SNL alum. So for that, there's a lot of things that I liked about it. And a lot of guys liked it because there's some good-looking chicks in it. And I think that's when Lindsay Lohan was at her height. And that's when she was still, you know, I was younger when that movie came out. And I was like, oh, yeah, she's a pretty attractive young girl. I don't know what, besides all the drugs she's been doing, she also clearly got some plastic surgery done, which, hey, that's, if you do that in your own time, that's, you know, that's your thing. That's fine. But isn't plastic surgery supposed to make you look better? She looks so fake and so weird. I hate to bash people based on their looks, even celebrities, but when you choose to look that way, ugh, it's disgusting.
Right.
But, ugh.
Yeah. I don't think she chose that. I really think that like heroin is a hell of a drug. I mean, really.
Well,
and you know, I definitely think she needs help. Now, it's hard for me to say it now, but you know, 4, 5, 6 months ago, I would say, you know, I'm a big Lindsay Lohan advocate. I really want her to get better. I mean, I still do want her to get better. But I mean, she's not taking her life in her own hands. She's blaming other people, and she's doing things because I guess she feels like she's entitled to do the things that she wants to do because she's a quote unquote celebrity. Sweetheart, you lost your fame back in 2004 when Mean Girls came out. That was the end of you. You have not put out anything decent. Even her music. I mean, she was a great musician. She had really, really good talent. And every time we talk about her, I mention the fact that she's a really good musician. I know you guys are tired of hearing me say that. But there was so much hope and there was so much potential. And to look at, you know, the garbage that I'm looking at right now on ABC News, it's really, really sad to see where she ended up. And she just needs to realize that she's the only one that's destroying her own life. Nobody else is. She had a really crappy upbringing. You're 24 years old. Become an adult already and get with the damn program. I'm sorry. I have all love for her, and I want her to get better. But shit, this is not the way to do it.
Quick housekeeping. Thank you to Dory the Explorer, who gave us the connection between those two. I didn't realize this, but Scary Movie 5, Sheen and Lohan were both in that movie together. Plus, she's going to be guest starring on his show, you know, Anger Management, that from what I keep reading, I actually haven't seen it, but apparently it's killing it in the ratings. I mean, for an FX show, it's killing it in the ratings. It's not, like, dominating, you know, like things like French and Seinfeld did back in the day, but it's doing well.
Right.
So thank you for that, Dory, and welcome to the chat room to some folks we haven't seen yet. iShine fan, I know you were in here earlier, but we didn't catch you when you were doing our thank yous before. And someone, Mitchell Hamilton, who I've never seen in the chat, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. I don't know if you know him or not, Topher, but I don't remember seeing the name.
I don't,
so
but hopefully
you
we get to know him a little bit more.
Well, welcome to No Rules, Just Mics. And, you know, I think we beat this Lohan thing to a pulp, but it reminded me of something else. Oh, like her face, exactly. So we'll move on from that venereal disease train wreck that we started. And what I was alluding to before, I saw this today. I don't know how old the news piece actually is, but we've talked about Taylor Swift before on the show. Before you all tune out, this isn't going to be really about Taylor or her music. We've talked about her usually in a negative light, how we're tired of her music. It's always the same thing. Boys Broke My Heart, and it's just so overt and out there, and it's just, ugh. And we don't get why. I guess I definitely get why, like, young, especially females, like her. But she's always kind of bugged us. But I would never be like, oh, I hate Taylor Swift. She always seemed like a reasonable, sweet, young girl just trying to figure out her life. She's definitely not like Lindsay Lohan, getting out there, getting coked up or shooting up or whatever it is, you know, partying like crazy. She seems to have her shit together for the most part. I never took it that far. However, she has insulted, I don't even know if insult's the right word, in my opinion, the queens of comedy. I love Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, have loved them since they were on SNL together, especially when they did Weekend Update. I mean, just countless
God,
skits.
Yeah.
When they were President Bush's daughters, they did a skit that was just hilarious. I mean, just, we could go on and on, you know, because I love SNL, as terrible as it is sometimes. I can't get enough of that show. But anyway, and they've gone on to great things. 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, Baby Mama, I thought was a funny movie. Just great, great actresses, and I think some of the funniest, probably the funniest comedic actresses out there. I think there's funny actresses, but when you factor in that they both write their jokes and things for the shows as well, I think that's why they're the best. But anyway, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are not paying me to say that. It seems like they do, or I'm related to them or something. But anyway, they're awesome, man. They hosted the Golden Globes a few weeks back, and, you know, they poke fun at a lot of people. They're fucking comedians. That's what they do. And, you know, they made some joke about Taylor Swift. I don't even remember it. It was probably just a boring joke anyway. It's probably like, oh, Taylor Swift has had lots of boys, and she writes songs.
No, actually, you missed it? Oh, you missed it.
I did miss
it.
I saw the Golden Globes. I didn't see all of it, but I did miss the joke.
Okay,
recap
I just
the joke
the first gay
me.
Inhale on No Rules, Just Mike. So there it is. First gay inhale.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
You missed it. So
yeah.
Apparently, oh, who was it? Oh, my God. Somebody's son was sitting there. What is his
yeah,
name?
Yeah,
oh
yeah,
my
yeah.
God! Yeah. So they were up there. They were like, "Oh, so and so's son is so hot. Stay away from him, Taylor. Stay away from him," or something like that.
Yes.
Some of the effect. Of
yes, that's right.
Just attacking her. And oh my God, her face was the best. it was perfect. It was actually
now
perfect,
that
but apparently
that,
she didn't
I
take it all that well.
I remember hearing the joke. I didn't see it. I wish I did because I would love to see Taylor Swift's face. But apparently she did an interview with Vanity Fair for the April issue that will be coming out, and they asked her about the Golden Globe. And her response about it, you know, and about her highly publicized love life was that, quote, "You know, Katie Kirk is one of my favorite people because she said to me she had heard a quote that she loved that said there is a special place in hell for women who don't help other women," end quote. So although Taylor Swift basically didn't say that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are going to hell, she used a quote by Katie Kirk to say it. That's fine. I got no problem with her saying people should go to hell. But the fact that she penned in there that they're doing that because they're not helping other women is ridiculous. They have done a lot for women in, you know, this isn't a huge deal, of course. This isn't like women's rights in the grand scheme of things, but they've really helped women comedic actresses. It paved the way for people like Kristen Wiig and Megan Mullaney
yeah.
or whatever, however you pronounce her last name, and all these other women comics who are now getting their own TV shows and movies and are just kicking ass on top of it, because Kristen
yeah.
Wiig's another one that's incredible.
Yeah.
They were there, they kicked
huge.
Some ass on SNL. I mean,
yeah.
seriously, for SNL, I think since they were there, the women have a lot of times have been way funnier than the men. I don't think the men's side has been as funny since Will Ferrell left. But anyway, they've done a lot for women in comedy. Not a huge deal, but they have. And to say that they're not helping women because they cracked a joke that millions of people, not professional comics, internet trolls, you and I have cracked about Taylor Swift, that for me just put it over the edge. You know, it's like, I didn't really like your music. You kind of were annoying to me, but, you know, you're just, you know, you're a young girl. You're doing your thing. Good for you. But I was just like, dude, to not only not get the joke and realize that there's a reason for that joke because she puts herself out there in all these relationships, it's not like the paparazzi is, you know, catching her in these private moments in her home. She's going out to hugely public places with these guys, like when she was with that kid from that boy band, One Direction. She was at, I think it was like New Year's Eve in Times Square. Like, obviously people are going to see you there. You're doing this to yourself. And people made a joke about it. And for her to act like it was the first time anyone's ever made that joke, it was just so asinine. And then to say that about Tina and Amy, it's just ridiculous. So I don't know if you saw that this week. It kind of angered me and kind of put me into the group of I hate Taylor Swift. And iShyFan makes a great point. Carrie Underwood is also my favorite. I couldn't tell you more than two songs by her, but she's smoking hot. So that's why she's my favorite. No, I mean, but in all seriousness, you know, I never liked Taylor's music, and to insult the queens of comedy who didn't even make a bad joke, in my opinion, I don't know. To me, it was just kind of childish and stupid, and I just made me think of it when we were talking about Lindsay Lohan.
Look who it's coming
from. Right.
I'm just saying. I mean, there's your source. There's your credibility right there. It's down the toilet. I mean, I don't know. When you talk about Tina Fey and you talk about Amy Poehler, you're talking about the reincarnation of Lucille Ball, essentially. I mean, there is not
sure,
been, there's
you.
Just funny women out there, but there's, I mean, to craft that kind of art, to just be a funny writer and then being able to kind of mold that into actually being a comedic actress and to have such a long-standing career, I mean, that takes one, a lot of balls. And two, that takes a lot of skill. That takes a lot of talent. So, you know, fuck Taylor Swift for saying that. Sorry.
No, I agree. Tina, And Tina and Amy, you know, we talked about the SNL side of things. I mean, Saturday Night Live is notorious for being a quote-unquote boys' club. It had been. I mean, again, I'm a huge SNL dork, so I don't know how many old episodes anybody is listening. I wasn't alive when the first season of SNL was on. But I've seen, I think, every episode of the first season or close to it that I watched on Netflix. But it was, you know, like Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase before he was a complete dickhead. And, you know, really, and Belushi, of course. You know, just really funny people. The girls were really funny, too. Jane Curtin, of course. And then, oh, gosh, I can't believe I'm going to forget her name right now. But she did the Amelia Bedelia sketch and, she died.
Gilda Radner.
Yes, thank you. Gilda Radner. Just hilarious. And, you know, but they didn't get the recognition of the boys. And the boys, if you think about SNL people, you think about Chris Farley and David Spade and Will Ferrell, you know, Jason Sudeikis now a little bit newer, Bill Hader. All people who are hilarious. And Adam Sandler. And the list goes on and on and on and on. You don't really think about the girls as much, but that changed a lot in the 2000s because of those two. And then you get the Kristen Wiggs, and then now there's a new girl on there who I think is pretty funny, Cecily Strong. And, you know, it just continues on from there. They did a lot for that show and for women in general. I think if you take them out of the show in SNL, and I saw Dory's comment earlier that she didn't think that they were that funny, and that's fine. You know, everybody's got their own sense of humor and stuff. But if you take them out of SNL, I mean, that show, it would have tanked, not, you know, to the point of cancellation. I think it's one of those shows that may never get canceled just because of the history behind it. But it would have been pretty bad in the ratings. They had a lot of stuff. And Jimmy Fallon, who was one of the stars back then too, has even said without Tina, and especially without her getting him on Weekend Update, you know, he wouldn't be as funny and as popular as he is. You know,
he's still not
that's
funny.
Just, that good.
Well, he is not funny at all.
I don't think he's in that upper echelon of SNL stars by any stretch. I think he's one of the more recognizable ones because of, you know, now having a late night show too and whatnot. But he has his moments of being funny. But yeah, he used to crack up like in every sketch ever. Like it was like a guarantee if he was in a sketch, he was going to ruin it by laughing at it.
Yeah, the only one that I did like was the Christopher Walken episode, the Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh yeah, of course, and which he did laugh in that sketch as well.
I mean,
but you know what he does?
I think the audience kind of lost it as well halfway through.
Right,
it was just
the
funniest
shit.
So I mean, I think yeah, more cowbell. I mean,
yeah,
it's that kind of stuff is just classic. But he would just laugh at, like, the stupidest stuff. Like, even if he was, like,
doing
an opening monologue. I mean, seriously. You're not that funny.
One thing that he does to perfection, you know, of course it's over the top because it has to be. But he does that. He used to his character with Rachel Dratch, the Boston characters. I forget their name. But he has that, like, over-the-top Boston accent just, like, nailed. And it always cracks me up. I mean, I grew up in Connecticut. I don't like Boston that much. I appreciate some things about that city, but I don't like a lot about Boston. But, yeah, oh, my God. They nail that Boston accent and just how, like, dumb sometimes Bostonians can be. I thought it was pretty funny. And that is one thing I think he nailed. And Dory brings up – I know I'm hardcore reminiscing about SNL right now, but it seems like a lot of people agree. Johnny's talking about Seth Meyers, how he didn't like the crack he made about the bacon taco. And Dory mentioned this this is probably the first cast where women were super strong, and that was when growing up watching. Molly Shannon with Mary Catherine Gallagher, Sherry O'Terry, who is one of the cheerleaders of Will Ferrell, and Anna Gasteyer, who one of her best skits was being Celine Dion. But Anna Gasteyer was one of those good, just like deadpan comedians where she was kind of like Phil Hartman, just like that, just could be like so boring sounding, but it was just so funny because they were so serious about whatever role they were playing. Like when she would pretend to be Martha Stewart, those were always classic.
The sweaty balls.
Sweaty balls. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking, sweaty balls. So that was the first SNL class I started to watch. That was like when I was in middle school. And that's when I first started to get into it. I've been watching it ever since. But no, she's right. I'm glad she reminded me. That was really the first super strong cast of women, at least that got recognized as such, probably since that first cast. But they've got some good ones on right now. They took a huge hit losing Kristen Wiig, but like I said, I think Cecily Strong's pretty good. And I think there's another girl on there who I think is pretty underrated. Actually, two other girls who are pretty underrated. They don't get in a lot of sketches, but I think they're pretty funny. Kate McKinnon is one of them, and the other one's name eludes me right now that I really enjoy, but Vanessa Bayer, that's it. But anyway, so that's my spiel on SNL. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, are you done? Oh, my God, I'm just kidding.
No, I could go on. I could talk about Saturday Night Live for hours, and I'm totally on board when people are like, you know that show hasn't been good since such and such cast, and everybody has that cast, where some people are like, it hasn't been good since Adam Sandler and David Spade and Chris Farley, but that's funny because back then people were saying the same thing about the cast before that, and so on and so forth. I don't think people always appreciate the cast when they're there and doing it. But when time goes on, they're like, oh, you know what? That sketch was funny. That sketch was funny. And all of a sudden, that was a classic cast. Like, everyone gets bashed. You know, even Will Ferrell, even though he was like an everyman, like, that cast got bashed. And I think a lot of them are brilliant. A lot of them have gone on to great careers. The same with some of the newer casts, too. But, yeah, I could talk about it forever. So I was trying to pass the buck on. We only got 10 minutes left. So I was just trying to move it along for those who are super bored.
So I want to talk about real quick, I want to talk about the Groupon CEO guy gets fired. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
It was on CNN.com. I don't know when it was initially posted. I think it was back in the end of February. But he gets fired. Groupon is kind of going under anyway, from what I understand. I mean, I know I use Living Social all the time. But Groupon just, it never worked for me. I never got it. I always got coupons to get my nails done or to get a facial or makeover. I'm sorry, I'm not a woman. I'm a gay man. You know, get with the program.
But you don't get your nails done?
I don't get my nails did. No, sir.
Oh, okay.
But
you don't get facials?
No, I don't. I'm naturally beautiful.
I was trying to lead you into a joke there, but all right, continue.
Sad horn. So he sends a letter to all of his employees, and basically this is quote unquote, it's wanting to spend more time with the family. ... Just kidding. I got fired. End quote. And then apparently he made some comments about having to go to a quote-unquote fat camp to lose the Groupon 40. I mean, that's kind of tasteless. I mean, they might have screwed you over, but sending out a letter to all of your employees, telling them, you know, basically just kind of making a big joke of the entire thing. I mean, how is that? One, is it appropriate? No. Two, what is it going to affect on Groupon as a whole, and will this make them go under faster?
Well, you know what, I actually was okay with it, and here's why. I saw somewhere, I didn't see it on CNN, I forget where I saw it, but it doesn't matter. I'm sure everybody has it by now, but I saw the entire letter at the bottom of the article that I was reading, and you know me, I like to joke, and sometimes even inappropriate times and inappropriate jokes I do enjoy. But as part of the letter, he admitted to his own failings. You know, he goes, you're right, he did open up with I've decided to spend more time with my family. Just kidding, I was fired today. But then he went on to say, as you said, if you're wondering why I got fired, you haven't been paying attention. And then he went on to talk about his failures. You know, he's like, I focused on this when I should have focused on the customer. And he said that, you know, my failings shouldn't reflect on you. Basically, you know, like, I'm your leader. You guys are an awesome team. I'm sure you're going to do great. And he did give them words of encouragement and basically said that you're better off without me. So I thought that was really cool because sometimes CEOs and stuff will just bounce and not say a word, or they'll give you that canned response of, you know, whatever. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I think you're going to see more types of stuff like that when it comes to internet-based companies, you know, like Groupon and things like that, because these are not your normal brick-and-mortar businesses that you're used to, and, you know, they're not the stiff you know, guys with the ties, you know, they're going to be these guys who are a little bit younger and, you know, might have a sense of humor. I was actually okay with it. Again, I don't have a problem with it, to be honest, but mostly because it wasn't just a joke. It was also, he also took responsibility for his firing, said it was no one's fault but his own. Plus, you got to remember, this guy, I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming CEOs make bank. So he may be set for life. I don't know how well Groupon CEO is paid. I mean, I would imagine it was pretty well. He's probably a millionaire plus. So he's probably taken care of. So as far as ruining any future endeavors, who cares? Probably, because he's probably can live off his money for the rest of his life. So I thought it was a nice change of pace, and I didn't think he all his jokes were towards himself and not toward the people, and I thought he did pretty good. I don't know. I see where you're coming from, but I didn't have a problem.
It's kind of tasteless in my personal opinion. I mean, what does that show for the other people in the company, where if the CEO gets fired, it's this big joke? You know, how reliable and what kind of job security does everybody else have with this company if you're firing the CEO and he's blatantly putting it out there? You know, regardless of whether or not he took responsibility, that first part, one, should have never been – he should have never sent the letter out in the first place. That should have happened by somebody else. I don't know. I thought it was a little tasteless, personally. I can definitely get a joke if it was something else, if he wasn't the one getting fired – Then I can kind of see that being funny. You know, John, blah, 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 you know, decided he was going to spend more time with his family. Nope, we fired him because he did this. And, you know, I think I would take that more kind of.
Really?
I think
I'm the opposite. I thought it would be worse if like management did that to a lower employee. But if a lower employee did that, I would probably just think it was funny. Because I'm on that level of the lower employee. I've never been this, and probably never will be a CEO or higher. So I'd be like, yeah, make a joke out of it. Stick it to the man, you know, like one of those types of things. But in reality, I would never do that. But I would never do that because
well,
I'm a lower
you're
level
Christian,
type
you're
employee.
You're just a nice guy.
But well,
like,
besides
fact. Like if his assistant were to send out that letter, I think that'd be hysterical. You know,
yeah, I don't know. See, I think that would be more of an argument for being inappropriate, is someone else sending out a joke about somebody else getting fired. I thought it was, if you take out the little jokes he made, and he just put out like a, hey, as you all know, you know, my time here with the company is done, and then, you know, said, you know, keep striving, keep doing whatever. If he took out the jokes, would you be okay with him sending out a like, I'll miss you guys, you know, continue to kick ass in the future. You know, so, okay, so it was more the jokes that were bugging
fine.
You.
But
okay,
all right. I don't know. And I don't know. I used to be really cool. I don't know. Maybe, I guess if you think about it, it's kind of funny. I just kind of found it tasteless because it's just.
It is
what it is.
Having grown up, always liking the news and being a news dork still, and being a journalism major for my undergrad, I like a lot of people who don't even necessarily have that background. People who just pay attention to the news. You get so bored to read the same things over and over again of so-and-so is fired today, and you see the same canned responses that some PR team puts out about whatever. So it was interesting for me, and it made it lively. And I thought it showed some character and, you know, for him and the company as well, for letting him put out something even after he was fired, letting him say one last goodbye to his employees, however he saw fit. And he didn't go out guns blazing, like saying, like, this is unfair and making fun of the company and saying how stupid they are for letting him go. So I think that was part of the reason that I was also cool with it. It showed that he was trying to make the best out of the situation. Like, yeah, I just got fired, but you know what? I'm going to be okay, and you guys are going to kick ass without me. And, you know, sometimes people fail. You can't just mope about it or blame others. So, you know, I see where you're going with it, you know, making a joke out of one's employment. But because it's the CEO, I thought it was pretty good, like a little self-deprecating humor on the way out the door instead of being that typical, you know, boring, you know, old white, you know, super rich guy who, you know, walks out in a company over some scandal. This was a guy who just didn't get the job done, a younger guy got fired and was like, hey, you know, it'll be all right. I've messed up. I'll be better in the future, and you guys will be better without me. I was cool with it. I got no beef with it.
You know, I guess I'm okay with it as well. When I read the article, I was like, that's really just kind of, you know, classless. But I don't know.
No, I get it. Not everybody business, as much as I hate how stuffy business can be, especially in big corporations, you know, like anything that even remotely smells of political incorrectness, you know, usually gets made fun of or leads to problems. I get that, but, yeah, I didn't really see any problem with it. And I convinced you, therefore I win on the first ever disagreement we've ever had. So I think with that, we should probably wrap up the show.
Absolutely.
It was a blast, as always, Topher. I appreciate spending another quick hour with you, and a big thank you to everybody who is listening as well, our regulars, and a couple newbies as well. So thank you, Mr. Burson, iShine fan, Johnny, we've seen you a few times, Dory, you as well. Mitchell, thanks for stopping in, and I hope you enjoyed what you heard. And someone else who just came in, Young at Heart, you may just be tuning in for the next amazing show that's coming up after us, but thank you for listening. We're here every Tuesday, live at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. No Rules, Just Mics. We're on Twitter at No Rules, Just Mics. Topher is at iTopher2. I'm at Sang225, which is Seng225. Thank you so much. Topher, what is up next? Good night, everybody.
Up next, you have your guiltiest pleasure. That is Uncensored Radio. They're coming up. They're going to be amazing. And you forgot to mention Jake Pentland on Saturdays at 4 and the USC Press. USC Press, which is going to be on at 11. And without further ado, everybody, we have your Uncensored Radio crew. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you so much. I love you guys.
Yep, yeah.
Hello. Aaron Cahill. Woo-woo.
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Aaron, Kat, are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna tell. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio. Oh, my gosh, you guys know we are your guiltiest pleasure, and today is a show of all shows, honey. I'm having one of my good girlfriends on tonight, and I'm so excited to talk to her and catch up with her because I haven't spoke to her since Lexington. Miss Erin Cahill is going to be on the show with us in a few minutes, but until then, I've got my boy Jeffrey in the house. Jeff, how are you?
What?
How's it going, doll? How was your day?
It was long, but what makes it all worthwhile is that Erin's coming on, and you know, she just happened to be on a few of my favorite shows.
Oh, I don't even think she knows how many favorite shows she was on of yours. Like, you're probably going to attack her. If you would have known that in Lexington, all the great shows she's been on, you probably would have never left her side.
Here's the thing.
Been like, Karen, get your boy.
I kept checking, like, I kept looking at her, like, why does this bitch look familiar? Like, I know her. Like, it just wasn't, and then finally, like, I was Wikipedia-ing her, and I saw all the stuff she, and I'm like, get the, sure enough, girl, sure enough.
She's accomplished. She's, like, phenomenal woman. Like, I mean, the thing is, like, obviously we share the past of Power Rangers, and I always tell people, you can do a million different shows, but for some reason, you know, I think because it's a kid's show and people grew up to it, it's just so near and dear to people's hearts. But this girl is a working woman. Like, she is impressive, to say the least. Like, I'm so in awe of her accomplishments, you know. I think she's amazing. So I can't wait to – I know she's probably working on some really cool stuff, but I can't wait to, like, catch up and just, you know, get the scoop.
Well, let me just name a few of the things she's been on.
Yes.
There was a show called Free Ride, American Dreams, Crossing Jordan, Cold Case, CSI Miami, Supernatural, Greek Without a Trace, How I Met Your Mother, Grey's Anatomy, General Hospital, Monk, NCIS, The Mentalist, CIS New York, Ghost Whisperer, Castle, House MD, Law & Order LA, Chase, Chuck, Body of Proof, of course, Red Widow.
Just to name
I mean,
a
and
few.
It, and
just
it keeps going on.
A few.
And don't forget the Beverly Hills Chihuahua 1 or 2 and 3 and Boogeyman 3. Like, this chick is just all over the place. I'm kind of excited.
Yes,
I hope she can give Mama a job.
I'm like, I know, isn't it amazing? Like, I love being around people like that because, to me, it's like if you surround yourself with accomplished people, if you surround yourself, obviously you got to be, you know, in a great place to walk in that room and book that job. And obviously she's booked lots of jobs. So it's like to have her on the show to give advice to the fans. I know a lot of them want to be actors or want to get into entertainment. I'm sure she's going to, you know, bless them with some good stuff. You know?
It's crazy. Like, seriously, like, I need to know if she needs an assistant.
Oh, so now you see how he does? He likes to bail on me once he finds greener pastures.
No,
you
honey, only greener in the bank account sense, in the bank account sense, okay?
Right, exactly, yeah. No, her bank account's definitely greener than mine.
Like, hook Mama up with some Hollywood money. Give me my 10%, baby. Go on.
You got to do something to earn 10%. You can't just, like, get 10%.
I will, you know, massage her feet every night and make her a little something on the stove.
She's a beautiful girl. I think she's got men lining up down the 101 freeway ready to massage her feet.
Well, we'll ask her.
I know. We have to because I'm pretty sure she ain't got no problem getting her feet massaged.
Yeah, but it's different when you get it from a gay man because you know that I'm not trying to go nowhere besides your feet. Like, it is there. Like, if you want me
that's
to go up past,
like
your kneecaps, you're going to have to call somebody else.
That's, like, kind of pervy, though.
What?
Like, do you like feet? Are you a feet guy?
No, not particularly. But, I mean, as long as somebody has decent feet, you know, like, I don't hate feet, you know? Like, it's kind of weird. But, like, my mom had her girlfriends over or whatever, and they had, like, some foot scrub or whatever. And I don't know how they conned me into it. I was probably drunk. And I just, you know, started massaging, you know, we're doing the foot scrubs in everybody's feet. And they were like, oh, my God. And I'm like, look, girls, don't get too excited. Simmer down here.
You are a good son. I don't know any son who's massaging his mama's friend's feet.
Well, they just, you know, there was like a girls' party or whatever. I mean, again, like, it was girls' feet, so it was okay. Like, if it was a doodly feet, oh, no. No. Nope.
You ain't massaging no dude's foot.
No, and if you got ugly feet, I can't mess with you neither.
What constitutes an ugly foot?
You know, you could just, I don't know, when you look at them, they're not cute. They're just ugly. Like Katrina, she always says she got ugly feet. Hers really aren't that bad, but they are kind of fucked up. I'm not going to lie to you. It's her toes.
Where is she when we need her? Because I need her to know you just called her feet fucked up.
She says it all the time.
Oh my God.
I'm just reiterating the fact.
Uh-huh. Just reiterating.
Like, even my toes bother me. You know, and I'm due. I need to paint my toes to get my nail polishes chipping. There's a few that have grown. It's a little sad, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I personally think all feet are gross. Like, even the feet that are well manicured, I think you can make them look better. And I think you can make them, you know, obviously there are some feet that look better than others. But I just think feet are bad. Like, they just are not. Like, when I hear about men who, like, have feet fetishes, and I'm like, how is that possible? Like, oh, like, I could just throw up in my mouth, like, man.
Yeah, that's not, no, girl, no, I don't understand that, the whole foot fetish thing, but no, no, mama,
right.
Mama, no, we're just going to pass, no.
Cray-cray,
yeah.
No, well, did you hear, you know, somebody who has, like, well, their feet got really famous these last few months, it was Kim Kardashian. She had those cankles.
She didn't have feet.
Get out.
That girl, you couldn't see her feet because her cankles were falling over.
She was pregnant. So that's the one time you're allowed to have cankles. That's the one time you're allowed to do it. But did you, like, she had her baby. Like, the cankles will be gone very soon because I'm sure all that water weight and all that baby weight will just be gone. Because, you know, those Kardashians, they slim up in, like, 2.2 seconds. But yeah, she had her baby and she had a little girl. I think it's very wonderful. Like, maybe this will make Kanye West a little nicer.
Probably so. I doubt
it. He just seems like
an ass. I doubt it.
He seems horrible. Oh, you know what? We've got someone on the line. This is Lance. I want Lance to come on because Lance has something to say about feet. Hey, Lance, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. You know, I know that Aaron's going to be on in a few minutes, but I just had to comment on, you know, I agree. Feet are just weird looking. They're ugly. And, I mean, they just look weird. I mean, honestly,
right.
You don't just spread your toes out and you just look and it's like, what is going on
right.
with that?
Right.
No, we're not going to talk about that. But look, here's the thing. Even you men folk, what you could do to make your toes look a little better, put a little black nail polish on them. Or maybe white, or, you know, you get skin tone. No, because it's just, I'm sorry, but unpolished toenails are just ugly. Especially, you know, because there's some men never, like, they always got, like, the, you know, the colors on the sides of their toenails. Like, they got the fungus in there. No. Paint the toenails.
No, I don't think men should paint. I don't think they should paint them. I think they should just put them away. I think they should just wear their basketball shoes and their socks.
No, the hell with you. The hell with you. You get open-toed shoes. No.
If you got fungus growing out the side of your toenail, I don't even think black nail polish is going to fix that. And plus, you know me. I like a manly man. No offense to you, Jeffrey. But I want my man having the same color on his toes that I have on mine.
You don't paint your toenails? Oh, that's right. You don't. You need some color on your nails.
I paint my toenails. Huh? I just paint my toes. What are you talking about? I just don't want a man to have nail polish and, like, we're both swapping polishes. Like, that's not, like, what
no,
we're
you have to stick to one color. Like, my color is black. I thought about going silver, but I'm like, no.
I'm not with the manly painted toenails.
It seems to be
know.
A very L.A. thing because everywhere I looked, there was a dude with painted nail polish.
I wonder what the Uncensored Radio chat room thinks of men with painted toenails. If you got an opinion, please let us know because I can't do it. I don't want a man with no painted toenails. I'm sorry.
Well, honey,
sorry,
you don't want me without painted toenails because my one ugly toe will scare you.
You got one of those?
I got it. Yeah, because I've told you many a time. I dropped it. My friend and I were moving a sofa sleeper couch, and it got dropped on my big toe, and, like, it swelled up horribly. Like, I was crying just because of the way my toenail, you know, changed color,
ooh,
you know, because it...
Yeah.
And it, like, became a huge, what's it called?
Callus? I don't know.
No.
Broke toe?
Like, it was, like, blood blister. It was, like, a blood blister all around the toenail. And then... It was so much pain. And then one of my friends gave me some medication that I took, and I wasn't in pain, and I, like, went to touch it, and the whole toenail fell off. I almost passed out dead. Like, you know how I am. I get a little dramatic. I was screaming, crying.
No,
I called my
mama. That happened to my niece.
The thing is. What nobody tells you is when they grow back in, they don't grow in the same way. They don't look right, and they're all, like, weird and misshaped. So it's real horrible for me. And I don't, you know, I love to wear flip-flops.
Right.
I hate wearing socks. But I don't want people to see that toenail. Like, you know,
right.
It's misformed. So I cover its ass up.
Yeah. Are you an open-toe kind of shoe kind of guy? Like, it sounds like you always have, like, open toes.
Yeah, I hate anything that I like my toes to be airy.
Airy?
Yeah.
That's
funny. Need a little air in between my piggies. I hate, the winter makes me crazy. Even, like, during the day, like, I now with this house, with the hardwood floors, you know, they're a little chilly, so I'll wear socks. But, like, it's a fight to get socks on and shoes. Like, especially in the summer, no.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
But if I'm
so
going
hilarious.
Somewhere where I know I'm going to get the questions, like, why are your toenails painted black? I bought one of those, like, those weird, like, active people shoes. They're like sneakers, but they're like sandals where they've got
and
the foot in the
And then it makes your
side.
Foot like a web foot, like if each toe is separated. Those things scare
no,
me.
No, oh, God. Girl, what the hell do you think I am? Are you crazy? No, they're like a sneaker, but I don't know. They have, like, openings. I'll have to send a picture. But they are, you know,
please
I
do.
Bought those, too, because, like, the
educate
flip-flops,
me.
I can't, with my back and pushing
mm-hmm.
a stroller, I can't go walking. Like, I don't know if anybody else is. Like, flip-flops are horrible for me, and even, like, sandals, like, if I'm going to walk a long distance. So I got these because they're kind of airy, but they still kind of cover up my toes where you can't see them. But it's still letting air in, and they're just as comfy as sneakers.
Right.
So
wow.
It was me cheating.
Okay. Well, you kind of get the best. It sounds like you're getting the best of all worlds there with the airy toes.
They're fantastic. And there's no laces, which makes it even better.
Oh, yeah, because you're lazy. You don't even want to tie your own shoes, huh?
I just don't believe in bending over that far.
No.
Just
kidding. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my
just
gosh.
Just kidding.
Uh-oh, I think it's that time, Jeffrey. The one
I know, we
got to
ask this girl about her toes.
I know, Miss Erin Cahill is in the house, everybody. Hi! Hi!
Hey, boo.
How are you? Oh, I'm so good, you guys. I just got out of the most awesome rehearsal with one of my best friends for, we're doing a one-act for charity for this thing that benefits cancer research, so it was like the most rewarding, awesome rehearsal. And I'm so sorry that I'm a couple minutes late. That's what I was doing. Oh, no, that's quite all right.
Well, can you give the scoop?
Yeah.
But where it is, when it is, how people can get tickets?
It is.
Are you there?
Ooh, I haven't even, yeah, you know, we haven't even, I have not even told anyone. My own mom is like, you better tell me when this is. I'm like, oh, I will, girl. It is July. Oh my God, my friend just walked out without saying goodbye because I was on the phone with you guys. I think the weekend of July 18th. It's at the Stella Adler Theater in Los Angeles. You can go on to, I think it's snapshots.com and buy tickets. I'm
okay.
going to my balcony to say bye to my friend. Bye, Yanni. I love you so much. We love you. That's exactly how she is. She is like the love machine. Like, you love everybody. That's what I love so much about you. When we finally got to like get to know each other in Lexington, and she bought me too many shots of bourbon. We don't need to talk about that.
Yes, oh no, yes. That was hysterical. Because Erin, and I'm a little mad at you because I can never get her to drink. And you got her to do shot after shot, and she was
yes.
a little plowed. She likes to deny it now, but she was a little plowed.
Well, I know, and then Erin disappears and goes to sleep. Like, she just, like, laughs after.
She
has
a drunk
the worst instigator. I did. I bought, Jason bought one round of shots. I bought another. Didn't you? Wait, who else bought a round of shots?
I don't know. I think a fan bought the third round. Like,
Lauren, that Lauren
coming.
Girl.
It was Lauren.
Lauren
loved her so much. That was Lauren.
Yeah.
That was terrible because I know people went out after and I was like, okay, well, sorry guys, good night, see you later. And I just went. I couldn't hang. After
I know
you shots went.
Well, you showed up to that panel and were already feeling good. Like, you were already giggling and I was like, how are you doing these shots? Like,
yeah, I had been out with Jason Font beforehand. We just grabbed dinner because we're, you know, we're like brother and sister. We never get time together.
Yeah.
We both just have such busy lives. So we went out, just him and I, and we ended up, of course, meeting the people at the table behind us because that's what happened when Jason and I go out. We just, like, meet everybody.
Right.
And so we ended up having, I think I only had, like, two drinks in me, but all told that we'll have made five drinks. And so my body was just like, and team, you're done.
it was
such a blast, though. Oh, and it was so great to hang out with you and get to know you. And you talk about me being a love bug, which, thank you. You are the sweetest, most beautiful person inside and out. I just have a total crush on you.
We were crushing on each other then because I was like, that Erin, I wish I would have met her sooner. I was so happy to have met you. And, I mean, you're so accomplished.
True.
And you've done so much. Like, I was looking at your IMDb just to prepare for today. And I'm like, this girl has been on everything, and you're so, like, nice to the fans, and you're so, you know, doing your thing. How do you keep yourself so level-headed? Because I've seen people who've done less, and they slip out. They go Hollywood.
Okay, first of all, thank you. I'm never going to stop thanking you for your sweet words. Like, they really mean a lot. And I think, you know, it's funny that you would ask me that, because last night I was out, and a friend of mine was like, how are you so joyful? Like, tell me how you maintain your joy. And I was like, well, I try to have a one-on-one with God or the universe or whatever, however you see it, you know. I try to do that as often as I can to try and check in and just, you know, get out of the way of my own joy. So that's, like, personally, but also professionally, thank you for saying that. Because I think I just have friends who I grew up with who would be like, this, you just, no, come on. Like, I don't know.
You've got people around you. You can say bad words. You can say it. Try. We've already said, like, five. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, I'm censored. That's what I was counting on.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's I think I just have people who would never, like, say, you know, people around me who wouldn't let my head get big. And I think I'm just, my dad, you know, I was raised, my parents were like, just be grateful. Like, be grateful. You know, I didn't grow up with much. So, my parents did an amazing job, and I'm in love with them. But, you know, daughter of a school teacher, father, you know, and a carpenter. So I really am grateful for everything. And the fact that I get to do, it's going to be echoey for a second, but the fact that I get to do what I love to do is, like, you know, how could I not be grateful and happy every day? By the way, you too, love. You're the same way. You got all kinds of awesome shit going on, and you couldn't be any sweeter.
Aw, well, so thank you. I too have really good friends that, like, they will check my ass in 2.2 seconds if I come with the Hollywood stuff. which I don't want to be that person. Like, I think deep down, you got to know who you are and who you really want to be in this industry, you know? Like, that's step number one. So I know a lot of people, they've sent in a million questions, a lot of the fans. One girl, her name is Laura Wilson, 43, and her name is Laura Wilson. She asks, what advice would you give a high schooler wanting to follow in your footsteps?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, hi, Laura. Thank you. And I would say, you know, for me anyway, I would.
You're so cute.
For me, I'm just going to bite your face.
Love her.
Oh, we have to figure out when we can do that.
I know, right?
So, I know, I'm doing with you. We'll figure it out after the radio, after the, you know, the thing today. I would say for me, and you probably did the same thing, I just did as much local stuff as I could get my hands on.
Right.
You know, I did every play in school, and I didn't care if it was a small part or a big part, or, you know, I just got involved in everything. I started doing local theater. I started doing jobs when I was 15 so that I could pay for dance class, so that I could do, like, I think if you really want to get started, build up your resume and just devour information when you're young, because that will stay with you. It's like learning a language when you're young, and learning the language of the performing arts, you know, it's a language. And so study, do it, and then move to a big city. You know, it doesn't have to be L.A. or New York, but, you know, Austin or Seattle or something with a theater or television or film team, you know, if you really want to pursue it as a profession.
Right.
What advice would you give?
I say the same thing. Like, I just tell people, you just have to work. Like, just if it's a, you know, when I was starting out, I didn't care if I was the extra, if I had a speaking part, if I didn't have a speaking part. I just wanted to be in it, and I just kept going and kept going, and the next thing you know, you book a job, and then you book another, and it just kind of falls into place, but you have to, you know, you got to just put yourself in that environment. And then the other thing I always tell people is you got to take class. Like, this is, if you were at a job, you'd take training courses. So I feel like in acting, you should, you know, work your craft and really learn and try to get as much as you can.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so hard. It's not as easy as everybody thinks. I learned that the hard way. Thank you.
And that's good, too, because that means you have an appreciation for it. You know, everything that comes in was hard-earned. So, you know, I think that's another thing, too, is, like, don't be afraid of having to earn it.
Mm-hmm. Well, another question we got. We got a question from Aaron. It looks like AWZ13. He says, what's your daily routine? Like, well, how do you start your day?
Oh, my God. I love that question. You know, it really depends on the day. Like, yesterday I was filming. I was doing this really fun commercial. And so it's super cute. Well, I hope it comes out cute. I'm a little scared, I'm not going to lie. But it's just all me talking to the camera, and it's, you know, I was like, it's 4.5-hour work day. But, like, those days, I get up at, you know, depends, between 4 and 6 a.m. when I'm shooting, and I'm one of those in the morning, especially if it's an early call. I do not, like, some people need an hour to wake up. Not me. I will roll out of bed, wash my face, brush my teeth, and get out of the house. So,
amen.
You know, yeah, I'm like, because I know on set, you know, it's going to be, I always get to set early so that I can have breakfast because I love food. So I will like.
Oh, I hate you.
I know. No, that's good, though. That's the smart, because you're going to go there and have makeup and they're going to pamper and doll you up. But you're right. Like, you just, I think you got a good thing going there, girl.
Yeah. And then on the other days, you know, for us, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way, like when it rains, it pours. You have a million things going on. And, you know, like last year I was working on the TV show and I did a movie in between episodes. And then I was also doing like a video game. So there was one day when I literally went from the video game set and got on a plane and went to Canada to shoot. And I was like, this is so exciting. And I was like getting no sleep and madly in love with my life. And then the pilot I did just didn't get picked up. So after that, I had a couple weeks where I was like, oh, my God, what does my life look like? You know, and I think, you know those days when you're like, I don't really have an appointment until, like, 1, but I feel
right.
Like I need to be productive.
Yeah,
so on those days, I try and do, no matter what, if I don't have 3 things that are kind of already built into my schedule for work, like auditions or meetings or filming or things like that, then I create 3 things for myself to do. Like, I will be in touch with somebody I haven't been in touch with. I will work out because that's part of our thing. I will read a script I've been meaning to read of a friend, or I will read part of an acting book, or I'll do 3 things a day, no matter what, to keep me focused and make me feel like I'm being productive in this little time.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's actually great.
That's great.
Someone gave that advice to me like maybe 8 years ago, and it changed my life. So if I can make even a difference with one person, like, or you guys, I mean, honest to God, because you know those days as an actor, you're like, what am I doing? Why am I on the
right.
You know?
Right. What did I get myself into?
right. And things will keep you feeling like you have a purpose. For me, anyway, it keeps me feeling like I have a purpose. I'm like, I did.
Yeah.
I wasn't just a lazy actor.
Right. Right. Well, you know, we have a caller on the line that really, really wants to speak to you. So I'm going to let him ask you a question. Hi, Hector. How are you?
Hello, Karen. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Good.
Hi.
Do you have a question for Aaron?
Yes, of course. And let me say it is an honor and a privilege to speak to my favorite Pink Ranger when I was in high school, Aaron Cahill.
Oh, thank you, Hector. Hi.
Good. I just want to let you know, I understand you couldn't make it to the 2012 Power Morphicon because I was there and I met Karen. I met also your co-star, Jason Font. He's a good guy.
Oh, my God. Jason Font is the best.
Yes. And you are actually my favorite Pink Ranger of 2001 when I was in sophomore year during my high school year.
Oh, thank you.
Now, my question is, how did it feel playing the role of Jen Scott on Time Force?
Oh, my God, Hector. It was one of the best experiences and you know, like Kim said, I've been very, very lucky to do a lot of sorry, I got distracted. I'm doing stuff with my hands. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna focus up. I've been lucky to do
leave me alone.
A lot of stuff, and I've been doing it for 13 years, and I've been on a lot of sets, and I'm very grateful for that. But that's honestly one of my favorite experiences of my life because I love Jen. I love the rest of our cast. We were like a little family. You know, it was really amazing. I loved it. And I loved her because she was tough. And I often play, like, kind of more the girl next door or whatever. So it was really nice to play, like, a tough girl for a year.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I don't know why Jeffrey's being so quiet, because
because
you're
always just like two girlfriends catching in. I know. You're just two girlfriends catching up, and I'm just like the sidekick SpongeBob or Patrick, but it's fine. But so, girl, we really got to get to the important things, because I know you got to go. You got to tell us, because Karen and I are...
I'm with you guys. I was going to go. I've got a big meeting in the morning, so I have to stay home and read a script. So I was going to go. I'm yours. I'm here till, what, 7? Yes.
Oh. Ooh.
If you'll have me, we would love to.
That's exciting. Because we really got to get to the biggest question of the evening. I mean,
ooh.
Karen and I are such big General Hospital fans, so we heard a little rumor that you was on General Hospital, girl. Fill us in. What was the scoop? Who'd you kiss?
First of all, that's adorable that you guys are General Hospital fans.
Right. We watch it religiously.
Okay, I love that. It's so cute. Sorry, my balcony's open and some motorcycles went by. It's really cute. It's a really good show. Cute, that's not the right word. It's iconic, and it's actually, of all the soap operas, I think really good, and the actors are so good. I mean, I don't know how they do that. Personally, like, so, okay, I played, do you guys know Spinoli, the character Spinoli?
Yeah.
Is he still on it? Yeah.
Yeah, I played.
This was a couple of years ago, but I played for five, six, something like that, episodes a week, so maybe just five. I can't remember, but I played like his captor. I drugged him and I captured him and I kept him in this room and I forced him to do my evil bidding so that I could get this thing. It was really fun, and then I got arrested at the end.
That's all. Well, at least you didn't die, because that means you can always come back. Even if you die on soap, you can still always come back. Like, they'll bring you as a different person.
That's so true. I had a couple friends who did a couple arcs in General Hospital. I think it was General Hospital. Was there an Irish girl on General Hospital for
yes.
like a year?
Yeah.
Recently,
like yeah. Oh, cool. Very
yeah.
cool.
My friend Andrea did an arc on it as well for about a year, but I don't know what she played. She's just really beautiful. She looks like a Barbie, but now I'm describing every soap actress.
Right, right. So, okay, if you could pick, like, your dream job, is there such a thing for you? Is there a dream job out there that you would love to, is it like a movie, a TV show? I don't know.
Okay, well, Karen, I want to ask you the same question because I'm so curious what your answer would be. And it's actually, I had lunch today. Well, both of you, I wonder what yours would be. But I had lunch today with someone, and because I was saying yesterday's shoot was really challenging, and I was like, I'm just, you know, you have those days as an actor where you question whether you're supposed to be doing this, and he just looked at me and he was like, what are you criminally insane right now? Like, what else would you be doing? And I went, I don't know. I'd be a good executive assistant. And he just started he was like, what the fuck answer is that? No, you would not. You would die. Like, I don't know. I think something that made a difference. I'm very passionate about volunteering. I volunteer every week. I'm very, very passionate about it. So something, like, I don't know, running a nonprofit or, you know, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, being Oprah, you know, something small like
right.
that.
change, you know, modern day TV as you know it.
Right, right.
Right. That's awesome.
What about you guys? What's your answer to that?
You know, I think for me, I've always wanted to do like a sitcom or comedy, because I just feel like those are the kind of shows, if you can make a person laugh each week and, you know, it almost ties in. I don't know. I think a paid job is a great job.
Yeah.
A paid gig with, like, you know, built in, you got 100 episodes, here you go. But besides that, I think I would want to do the same. I would want to make people laugh. I'd want to make people's day better, you know, and if that was by me making a fool of myself, I would love it.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. And I'm just, yeah.
Yeah. One thing thing I will say, my memories of Power Rangers, like we, like you said, you guys had a family. I think that's really important as well, because I've worked on other shows where you were kind of just, I was a guest star and you kind of are not in the loop, or it just felt different. But that show, we had so much fun. So it's like if you could find a job where you have fun and you become really close to your co-stars, it's just like the icing on the cake, you know?
Oh, totally. No, wait, I didn't hear from both of you about what you want to do. I was going to launch
Jeff,
another story.
What's
and then
your
I was
dream
like,
job,
wait a
Jeff?
Minute, Jeff.
Okay. You know, I think I'd have to go with kind of a mixture, both of you, in the sense that I would like to be able to make people laugh, but I'm going to change and be because I would like to make a boatload of cash only to, in turn, yeah, turn around and give it away. I'm really weird like that. Karen knows, like, they all made fun of me one night because I really would like to get to a point where I made, like, Oprah kind of money, where I could just go to the street and find needy families and just give them, you know, $10,000 or $100,000 and change their life. To me, that would be, like, the most rewarding thing. Like, if you have that kind of money, you got to give that kind of money, you know?
Right.
First of all, Jeff, I'm going to seize you. I'm gonna find you both. Where are you right now? Why are we not in the same second?
I'm in LA. He's in Auburn, New York.
Why are you going to always bust it down?
He's in Manhattan, New York.
Not quite.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I didn't
realize
you were so far away.
I know. Well, modern technology. We can do a radio show.
I know. Love that. And, yeah, by the way, what a beautiful thing. I love that about you. Thank you for being that kind of person. You're just – that's fantastic. And I do – I think it's – I mean, there's a quote from the Bible, actually, which is funny because I was raised Buddhist. I don't know how I know this quote, but you know – I picked it up. It's a really great book, so I haven't made it through it, but, you know, I've read some. But the quote is, to those who much is given, much is expected. And I think, you know, I think it's such a beautiful thing that you have your eye on, you know, giving back what you get some of, because that's, you know, that's a lot of people don't think that way.
I just feel like you have to. Like, I have a hard time looking at all these billionaires. And, yeah, I think they give a lot of money away, but I feel like, I don't know, like Kathy Griffin did something on My Life on the D-List where she was like going out and trying to hand out money on the street, and like people like thought she was nuts and some people wouldn't take it. But I thought that was so like great, you know, like I think she pulled like $10,000 out or went and did that. And I was like, but you know, $100 to a family with three kids that's making, you know, not much more than minimum wage, like that could be the world of difference.
Life changing. Right.
But now, don't get me wrong, because if I get Oprah kind of money, there will be somebody in my house just to peel my oranges. Like, I will make sure I'm supporting people.
Yeah, he's booty. He's not going to be like Mr. He's going to have an orange peeler. He's going to have a foot massager. He's going to have someone cutting his hair, pouring his wine.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, I'm with you. I believe, like, I think, you know, I think the guy that created Tom, I hope that he is filthy rich because he's made such a difference in the world and he gives away so much of what he does. Like you,
right.
I think if you have that, you enjoy it and you share it.
Right.
Right.
Like I couldn't imagine not taking care of everybody I knew in my life.
Ooh, right. We've got another caller. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ryan. I'm calling from Towson, Maryland. How's everybody doing tonight?
Wow. Hi,
great.
Ryan.
You have a call.
Yeah,
call
how's everybody doing?
Aaron? Oh, we're great. We're great. We're happy you're here.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me. You know, I'm going to tell you a really quick story about Aaron.
Oh, God. Ooh. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Don't worry. It's nothing negative at all. I mean, please. I mean, you're one of the nicest people in the entire world, Aaron. Come on.
Right.
You absolutely are, 100%. So I tell you what, Karen, I had the honor of meeting you as well as Aaron at Lexington Comic-Con earlier this year.
Yeah.
Yes,
cool.
Yes.
Well,
I'm so glad you called in.
Yeah,
it was a great time. I had a wonderful time meeting all you guys. And Aaron, I got to tell you something. I you may or may not remember, I came up to you, I told you how I was a big fan of your respective season, and I told you how I remembered almost every little detail about the season finale, and I got to the point where I was telling that story, you were so happy about it, I felt like you were going to cry.
That sounds about right. I run high on emotions.
Yeah, I mean, I was very surprised by that. You were about to cry, and I was like, wow, this is like the first celebrity I've ever almost brought to tears. This is a first for me.
She's a sweetie, I tell you. She's a little lover.
Yeah, she really, really is. So I just want to say it's great that you're on tonight. It's great that you're doing everything that you've done. I wish you nothing but the best of luck on future projects. And my question for you is this. Is there a chance that you may return and make an appearance at Lexington Comic and Toy Convention next year? And then if you do, I promise, this time I will bring the Power Rangers Time Force VHS tape for you and Jason to sign.
That's pretty freaking awesome.
VHS tape? Right. I hope you bring it in some sort of, like, an archaeological case.
Right, like, all nice and protected.
Yeah. But thank you for your kind words. First and foremost, thank you for your kind words. And, yeah, I've only done, what, 2 conventions now? The Morphicon and Lexicon. And and a lot of it is because of scheduling. A lot of it is, I've been very, very, very lucky the last few years. And so my answer to that is if they will have me, because, my God, what a beautifully run convention. And the people that run it.
Oh, I know.
Karen, weren't they the sweetest?
Yeah. They were great. I love them.
So if I'm asked back and if my schedule allows, I really hope to be there. I would love to.
Awesome. Well, guess what? We've got another caller. Oh. You are a popular girl tonight. Hey, caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Scott from New York.
Hi, Scott from New York.
Hello.
Erin, I just wanted to say I'm a huge fan of your season. I thought you did a wonderful job. But I was wondering if I don't know if you remember from the team up the following season with the Wild Force castmates. If that special missions outfit, was that dictated in the script or was it just what the costuming department gave you?
Oh my gosh, what a great question.
They know stuff we don't even know. Like I would be like, I don't know.
That's how I felt at Lexicon and Morphicon. I would get asked questions, and I was like, wow, I don't know what to say, so thank you. I have no idea.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to say about this one. Like, the outfit he's referring to was a totally, like, pleather, leather, completely tight, almost like a Tomb Raider kind of, or, like, that was the, anyway,
ooh,
I don't know. Not Tomb Raider. That's Laura Croft. I'm thinking the wrong thing. Anyway, yeah, it was a real sassy outfit. And I don't know. I have no idea whose brainchild that was.
Right. Wow. Well, you know what? Like I said, these fans, they know everything about you.
Sure
they know
do.
Everything about the show. They know everything. One fan asked, I didn't even know this. He said, his name is Lance Mueller. He asked online, he said, you went to the land of your ancestors recently. How was your experience there? So where did you go? Because it sounds like a fabulous trip.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, Lance, thank you. It was. My dad is stationed in Afghanistan right now for work. He's a contractor, so he's there for work. And he treated me, my sister, and my stepmom to a trip to Ireland and Scotland. And my name is so Irish, you guys. Erin actually means Ireland, and Jessica's like a totally common name over there. And then Cahill, which is actually pronounced Cahill, is like Smith over there. And there's a whole region where we're supposed to have originated from, Tipperary, which ironically enough, we did not get to, but we got close to. I know it's funny that we didn't get it there, but it was just such an incredible trip and so amazing to be with my family and see my dad. And you know, like I said, my dad was a construction worker my whole life, so he didn't even own a passport before the job. So it was such a and he's only been doing it a couple of years, and this is his first time out of the country with Afghanistan, and then now Scotland and Ireland. So it was such a monumental trip for our family, you know, just even experientially, but also, like, for our relationship. It was real. It was magical. Like, magical feels like too small a word.
Wow. Right. Oh, wow. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Good for you. It sounds like you work hard, but you also find time to play hard as well.
You know what, my love? That is one of my mottos to live by. I believe that you would just have to have a balanced life, and you have to. Yeah, there are times you put your nose to the grindstone and work 12-hour days and bust your butt for a little while, but then, you know, but I'm a big believer in going on trips. Like, I've been very lucky to go all over the world.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. So, speaking of all over the world, you made quite an impression at Lexington, because this next person who asked the question is Aaron Cooney, which he's a friend of ours. He says, where did you learn to give such great hugs?
Oh,
you were hugging him to death in Lexington, I think.
She is a hugger.
She's a hugger, and like a good hugger. Like, you feel the love.
Oh, yeah, you both have been victim to my hugs. I don't know. I've just always been that way. My mom's favorite story is before I could talk, I would be over her shoulder, like if she was holding me like a baby. I would reach out for strangers and wink and smile. And I don't know. I always like humans.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good quality.
Yeah, I just know that because I do not like spiders. So, you know.
Okay,
I don't know why.
So
I don't know what that thought was.
But you like humans. That's good. No, that's good to know. See, these are the things that fans, like, they want to know the weird stuff. They don't, you know, I think they've probably heard you tell your life story before. So knowing that you like humans and you don't like spiders, that's very, very tricky thing to know, you know?
Yeah, how do you feel about feet?
You know, I know people have very strong opinions about feet. First of all, Jeff, adorable question. I think, I think other people's feet don't really freak me out, but unless I know mine are clean, I'm like, give me a second to clean them off. But then if somebody wants to touch my feet, I'm like, go for it. Get involved.
I think I just fell in love with you even more.
A little bit.
Get involved.
A little bit. I love
it.
That
makes me think of something. That makes me think of Aaron. Are you dating anyone? Are you living the single life? What's going on with you, girl?
First of all, we have so much to talk about. But I'll just say for the sake of time that I was in a 6-year relationship for, you know, about 6 years. And that ended a few years ago, and I've had like 2 boyfriends since then. You know, a couple months here and then 5 months there. And I've been, and the most recent one was a bit of a big heartbreak for me. And so I've just started bouncing back and dating like in the last month and a half or 2 months. So it's crazy because I always thought I was a really bad dater because I'm such a serial monogamist. Like if I like you, I'll date you for a year or 6. But, but I've been doing a pretty good job. I've been like dating, you know, and I'm not just uncensored, so I can just say it because it's uncensored radio. I've not been sleeping around. I'm pretty particular with who I choose in that category, but like I'll go on a date and we'll have a lovely little makeout at the end, and I think, you know, and I've never really been that way, and it's super fun.
Right.
I really love it.
I know, right? And my heart goes pitter pat.
Can we keep her? Can we keep her?
We can keep her, Jeffrey. We can keep her.
Jeff, you should get on the plane right now, and we should all go out this weekend.
Yes.
I wish. Oh, no, see, I can't fly. There's a problem with that. me and the planes, we don't mix.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, it was horrible. Like, I came out last summer because we filmed a little reality show. And it was horrible. I flew to Vegas to pick up Katrina and then drive to L.A. because I didn't want the extra, like, hour on the flight. And it was a horrible, horrible. I just can't do
it
anymore.
It was not horrible. He got on
yes,
the plane.
It was.
Everything
the man
went
got
okay.
Sick.
It was just fine. He's like
the plane
chicken,
dropped out of the sky.
It did not drop out of the sky. It does the thing, Aaron. This guy, you know what he does on his weekends? He watches plane crashes. Like, if you're scared to fly, why would you watch plane crashes? On
I'm like a cutter.
You are like a cutter.
Yeah. Pam, Pam, it's true. I know. Well, because I keep thinking, like, you know, you get to so many, it's like it's all the same thing because there's not really that many crashes. So in my head, I'm trying to reverse psychology myself, and it's not working. So when we were in L.A., it was so bad. Like, at one point, I really considered taking the train home, which was 69 hours, but I didn't care.
Oh, my God.
Because I get too stressed out. So I'm like, you know what? Next time, you know, I've got to come back to L.A. kind of short here, and I'm going to have to fly. But I'm going to have to be heavily drugged. I just don't want to put my body through
the
stress of
it. I know people who are heavily drugged for a lot less. So I
right?
do what you need to do, boo.
It's horrible.
Give him some of that Kentucky bourbon you were passing out. I think he'll be
no,
okay.
I tried that. It didn't work. I got hammered before the first flight out, and of course it was in thunderstorms. The plane's dropping out of the sky. The stewardess, because it's one of those small ones with the propellers and no blinds,
oh,
so I'm really – I had to walk out onto the ground and walk up – oh, no, it wasn't cute. And this chick, she's like, are you okay, honey? I'm like, you got any booze on this bitch? And she's like – no. I'm like, then you can't out me. Like, I don't, and it's so bad that I freak out my husband. Like, he's like, you freak out. He's like, I just watch your body, like, tense up and freak out, and you, like, dig into your own knee. And he's like, you're freaking me out. So he doesn't want to sit next to me when we fly anymore, which is fine.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
I was just going to say that exact same phrase. I'm with him. I'd be like, you go over there.
It's horrible. Like, I just don't. I feel like
day.
if we were supposed to fly, I'd have some wings on my fat ass. But no. So instead, I'm gonna get me a bus like Whoopi, and I'm just gonna drive back and forth. I'm fine with it, really.
Oh my God.
This is what I deal with, Aaron, every day on a day to day basis.
Well,
I deal with the cutter that is Jeffrey. Uh huh.
Yeah,
oh,
and I'm like,
James, our producer. Hi, James.
Hi. You didn't even introduce me at the very beginning of the show, Karen. I'm kind of mad.
I'm so sorry. I was, like, so excited that Aaron was coming on. I lost all my mojo. I lost all my hosting skills. Aaron, this is James. He was also with us at Lexington. James, Aaron, James. He's our producer.
Yes, we just spoke. He was so sweet. I was like, hi, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I was getting out of a rehearsal. And we've been emailing. James and I are, we write love letters. I mean, I know to you they probably are like business, but I think they're love letters.
They were. Totally. It's official. Anne K. Hill is my straight girlfriend. I'm just saying.
What? What? Yay!
Well, we do have a question from the chat room, and it's from Matt. I cannot pronounce your last name to save my life. And the question is, what is one place you haven't been but you would love to go?
Oh, my God, I love that.
Auburn, New York, right?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Wow. Well, I'm going to take a train there because that's the way to go.
Planes fall out of the sky.
I know. We'll talk about that, too, because maybe there's, like, some hypnotherapy we could get into. But we could talk about that later. I've never tried it, but I have always wanted to, so I'm trying. So, you know.
Down for the cause.
Well, yeah, right? I've never tried it, but it always seems like such a good idea. I don't know. I've been so lucky, like, been all over. And I've hit the big ones, Italy, Paris, London, you know, all those. And I'm going to Thailand in January for a friend's wedding, and I lived in Berlin for 2 months doing a project. I lived in Bulgaria for a month doing a project. Like,
wow.
I've been super... Yeah, I've been so lucky. And I went to Portugal for a film festival, and I went to Colombia for a friend's wedding. Like, I've just been all over. That's not even all of them. I can't even remember right now, but I'm so grateful. Like, I'm passionate about traveling. So I would say that the big one that keeps – that I'm like, I'm going to get there one day, but in my mind I'm like, I'm either going to go with a bunch of girlfriends or a romantic trip is Greece.
I'll meet you there. I'll take the boat. I'll see you.
You're right. You start now, because by the time she gets there in about a year, you'll barely be arriving.
It's true. Yeah.
I just got to be careful of those icebergs. That's the next problem, but we'll be all right.
Oh, goodness.
He's got more danger on a boat than you are on a plane.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I'm kind of, you know, I've gained a lot of weight back, so I float. So I feel like I can be my own buoy and just, you know, dead man float back to shore. I'm just a little, I watched Jaws too much as a child, so I don't actually like to be in lakes, rivers, anything that, you know, if it's not a pool with chlorine, mama can't do it.
Mm-mm. Right. Oh, my goodness.
I'm with you, though. I have what I like to call media-induced fear of the ocean and sharks. It's like an irrational fear of sharks.
Yeah, it's true, though. It's just bigger than you.
God, they're terrifying.
And we're in their space. It's not like we they're in our living room. We're in their living room. It's No.
Yeah, I don't play with the ocean either. That's one thing I am not going to, no.
Yeah. What about you guys? What's your like, next dream location?
Gosh. You know, years ago I went with girlfriends to, like, London, and then we hopped over to Paris, but only for, like, a day or two, and I felt like I didn't give Paris or Italy my time and attention, so I want to go back and just, like, be there for, like, a month and just, like, you know, walk the streets of Paris, you know, and just soak it all up, you know?
Oh,
I don't know. I've been to so many places, so it's not really like I'm yearning to go anywhere, but I think I haven't had an opportunity to go to these places and really get the culture and really, like, you know, be consumed with it, you know?
I know exactly what you mean, and I love Paris. What about you?
Yeah.
What's your...
I'm like only 2 hours from Niagara Falls, so that's like my furthest outside of the country has been Canada.
We gotta make him get out.
I mean, I almost went to Mexico when I lived in Arizona, but then I got scared of the water and stayed home. But almost, yeah, it's ridiculous. But I do want
to
travel all over. And here's the kicker.
To get to Mexico.
I know. Here's the kicker. I want to go to third world countries and try to help and, like, bring water and bring supplies and, like, meet people that are, like, living in huts and that have nothing. And
I feel
like it will bring appreciation to my life. And I don't know. I don't know how I could help, but I'm sure there's a way I could do something. So I would actually really like to go to all those odd places that nobody wants to go, where I will probably get some crazy disease and die, but I feel like it'd be okay.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God. Okay.
I'm not. It's okay.
Oh,
I'm the crazy one.
He's a cutter. We know.
Right, totally. Oh, my God, that's actually a perfect segue. One of my dearest friends in L.A., Ryan Devlin, he's an actor, you know, look him up. He went to Africa and started this whole thing. He built a bridge for a town that didn't have a bridge to a water supply. So he completely, like, anyway, I can't even wrap my brain around him. He's such a miracle. But he also just created a bar called This Bar Saves Lives. And if you look it up, it's like the model for the Tom's guy. It's you buy a box of these, or you buy a bar, and it sends this thing called a pod. And there were, like, TED Talks about it, and there's been all kinds of publicity about it because he didn't create it. This pod already existed. Anyway, it gives food to malnourished and underfed people, and they've already it's this pod thing. It's so flourishing that it literally has been proven to save lives.
Wow.
It's such a superfood. And so already with their company, they just launched a few days ago. They've already saved, I think, 7 lives or something. It's the most miraculous thing. So, and I have a box in my cabinet right now. If you guys get a chance, This Bar Saves Lives is what it's called, because it does.
This Bar Saves Lives. Okay, so we've got to get that link. At some point, send it to James, and we'll pump it up so that we can try and sell or get as many bars out there so that they can get the pods. Because I've heard of this. Like, it is revolutionary. Like, it could change. Like you said, it could change a whole tribe. It could change, you know, a lot of these people. I mean, their whole life just depends on one little thing coming to help them, and it just makes a difference. So we're almost to the end of our show, Erin, and I have to ask you, when you were listening to the radio? What is in your iPod, iPad? What are your favorite songs? I feel like your favorite songs tell so much about you as a person. What's in your iPad, iPhone, whatever it is?
Okay. First of all, this is not me shamelessly promoting my friends. That one is like me wanting to make a difference in the world. This bar saves lives, you know. But I just bought last night, or today, actually, I bought it at like midnight. Today, my friend Jessica Childress, who was on The Voice, her first single dropped on iTunes. So that is currently what I've been listening to today. It's Jessica Childress, like child, R-E-S-S. And it's called I Quit. And it's the same, I think it's the same producer like Adele's worked with, and it's a kick-ass song. So that's what's playing on my iPod right now. But my new obsession is the Andrews Sisters Radio on Pandora. I don't know if you know who the Andrews Sisters were. They were this old-timey,
They have, like, great harmonies.
They really did. I love that you know the Andrews
Sisters. They're legendary. Yeah. You are so cute.
I got nothing.
I'm gonna introduce him to the Andrews Sisters. Next time you come on the show, he's gonna be singing the songs for you.